Thank you. Go out of the woodwork. whispered into your brain. I said, you about to tell me, and the major change in me. And it seems to me you lived your life like you can't move anymore. And I know you had to do when the rain set in. And I knew I don't know you, but I was just like you. You can't revert that.
Tonight, it's been too loud, so far away.
in your heart. Thank you.
people have asked us to go back and play some of the old songs that we first did when we came to the Boston Tea Party. Those days. So we're going to do a couple of them tonight, and this is one.
Like a coin in your mean.
next one is a good number to clap and sway to, in that order. Okay.
Thank you.
do one of my favourite songs of Burning Man I've ever written. Still like singing this one. Here you go. This next song we recorded in 1969, and it didn't work out very well, so we re-recorded it again and it made the Yellow Brick Road album, and it's a song called Grey Seal.
To the newborn, on the extreme, the shores of the sun. You can't help me.
going to do a song that we recorded on Tumbleweed Connection. It's going back quite a ways. A song called Burn Down the Mission.
Yeah.
we're gonna rock and roll it down. We're gonna rock and roll it down. We'll be right back.
because there's not just one person. There's Elton John, there's four other people too. So, first of all, on the far side of the stage, on the bass guitar, Dee Murray on bass! And on the guitar from Edinburgh, Scotland, blonde bombshell, Mr. David Johnson on guitar. Next, we have someone who has his own record out this week, so you should all go out and buy it. On the drums, Mr. Nigel Olsen on drums. And last but not least, our newest member of the band on his first American tour, on percussion, vibes, drums, you name it, he plays it, Mr. Ray Cooper. To four other people now, it's been our privilege to have them on the tour with us. They're about the best brass section I've ever heard. They're really fantastic guys. Why don't you give a big Boston reception for the Muscle Shoals Horns?
Thank you.
We have a new single out this week, and it's not available on any album because it's sort of tribute to a songwriting team that we have a lot of respect for. I'm sure everybody does. Ben and McCartney. And I'd like to dedicate this one to my fiance, who's here tonight. And this one's from the Yellow Submarine film, it's also from the Sergeant Pepper album. And I want to hear you singing on the chorus, because it's one of the best choruses I've ever heard. Here we go. This next one is for you romanticists and sentimentalists and people that like a good smooch in the backseat of a car. I'm sure there's a few. This one's slow. No more of the darkness. All my pictures seem to fade to black and white. I'm growing tired, and time stands still before.
You misread my meaning.
This next number is rather peculiar. It features Mr. Johnston over there on the mandolin. And it features Mr. Raymond Cooper on an instrument called the Duck Quack. And he will attempt, during this number, to break his world record, which previously he broke in Toronto. So you have to give him a bit of verbal encouragement on this one. This one's about the city and the country. And it goes like this.
Come back home, can't you make me back home?
next number's about nymphomaniacs. I'm sure there are a few of you here. All right? How many nymphomaniacs?
Oh dear.
If your name is Alice, you better watch out. This is a song about you. Here we go.
Oh,
to do a number about the weekend. And about Sunday night. Normal Friday night. Saturday night.
Saturday! 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 Saturday!
This number's a nice number to sit down to.
Was a lot.
We're going to do a song for you that we don't usually do on the tour. We've done it about 10 times on the tour so far, out of about 40 places. And this is a song we only reserve for special occasions, when we really have a good time. We've been a great pleasure, thank you very much. We've really had a good time, thanks to you. And this is for you, especially. Just a little bit from here. Just a little bit inside. Love the roads who can ease the high. I don't need much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where love could live.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our custom report for this, what the heck is it? Oh, it's a Thursday evening. Usually we do not spend a great deal of time reviewing concerts that are going on, because it's kind of your decision whether you liked them or what happened, and we spend most of our time talking about the upcoming concerts in the area. But tonight we're going to take a little bit of time talking about last night's events because of their magnitude, and also because you're going to see that same show. A lot of people are, 15,000 of them, this coming Monday. And we have on the telephone, we're just lucky enough to happen to have on our telephone today Steve Rosenblatt, who's the box office manager at Boston Garden and one of the world's biggest Elton John fans, I hope. Right, Steve?
Right, bud.
Tell us a little bit about the concert and what you actually saw last night, stage-wise, performance-wise.
Okay, performance-wise, the show was excellent. Elton John did 2 solid hours with 2 encores, and he did a lot of his big hits, Crocodile Rock, The Bitch Is Back, and Your Song, which he doesn't do very often. The speakers are flying, which means they've been about elevated to about 14 or 15 feet above the stage, which means there's less obstructive view seats in the house.
When did the show go off on time, Steve?
Yeah, it started right at 9:30. He went on right at 9:30. He was a little bit bothered at first because the house lights were up because people were lighting matches, and if they wouldn't light the matches, the house lights wouldn't have to go on. But he was a little bit, well, sort of confused at first, but then after the lights went out, he went into his act, got it together, and really did a dynamite show.
Sound good?
Yeah, excellent. Excellent sound.
Your place is not famous for its acoustic abilities.
Well, I think if the speakers are raised up, it adds to the acoustic abilities of the building, because there's less things in the way to stop the sound.
Okay. How about the crowd control-wise? Any problem?
Inside, there was no problems whatsoever, or let's put it this way, the usual problems, but outside, I hear there was 12 to 18,000 people outside milling around who didn't have tickets. We had extra security, we had a lot of dogs, and I don't have any reports about what happened outside other than there were a lot of people.
Well, obviously, if you have that many people out there and you don't have any reports, it couldn't have been anything very serious.
Right.
All right. What about when did Elton John get there, and how did they do the security thing?
He came sort of just like Sinatra. He came in and out just like Sinatra did. As a matter of fact, I thought he was going to catch pneumonia. He ran right off the stage, dripping wet from sweat, and went right outside into a limo, and he was whisked away to New York.
And
he was just in for the show. He was there maybe 20 minutes before the show, and before the audience had sat down from applause, he was out of the building and on his way to the airport, I guess.
I forgot. Is he in New York and Washington, or just New York and then back here?
Well, I think he was going to New York tonight, last night, and then he's doing Washington this evening, and then he's going to New York for the weekend.
Now, I know that at least the rumor mill has it that part of the president's family will be at the Elton John concert in Washington. How about anybody? Give us a highlight. Who's there last night?
Who's there? There was a fellow behind stage wearing a gray dungaree cap with dark glasses, and he had an oriental girl with him, and it was John Lennon.
Hmm. Now, what is this rumor mill flying that they're going to do a concert together?
They are going to, from what I've heard, Lennon is going to appear with Elton in his New York performance, and John just came to look at the show tonight, the last night, and just to view Elton, because he says, quote, the best place to view the show would be in Boston.
Hmm. Wonder why he said that.
I don't know. Well, the Beatles played Boston. Maybe he likes it better than the other arenas in the country.
Huh. I can't believe he likes Boston Garden better than the other places.
Oh, come on, bud.
Hey, what happened with counterfeit tickets? What's going on?
There's a lot of ripoffs last night. We had, some of our police had upwards of 40 and 50 counterfeit tickets all for the same section, and people are really getting ripped off at $20, $30, and $40 a seat. And these people aren't getting into the building, and it's a shame that people really do this.
How can we avoid that Monday?
Pardon?
How can people avoid that Monday?
Well, if people haven't bought a ticket as yet, I suggest that they only purchase them from reliable sources. There are some tickets available at places throughout town. We are sold out here, but I imagine some of the agencies still have some. And they should just buy them from reliable sources. And if anyone would like to come into the box office with a ticket that they've already purchased, maybe we can save them a hassle by telling them that it's counterfeit.
Hmm. Where are their tickets available? Because we can't find any.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying if there are any available.
Oh, if there are.
If there are any available, only purchase them from reliable sources. Don't purchase them from someone off the street unless you or they know exactly what the ticket looks like.
Is any way to tell on the counterfeit tickets, the average eye, or are they doing pretty well?
Well, the average eye, it's just a pretty sloppy, it's a shoddy ticket. It's, I guess the easiest way to tell is we have a cobwebbing on the ticket, and they can't reproduce it as well as we produce it.
What's that background effect that you have?
Yeah, it's the background. It looks like a cobweb type thing on the back of the ticket.
All right. Anything? Everything's all set for Monday, and
yeah, everything's all set for Monday. We're anticipating the same type of problems with crowds, and unfortunately, the counterfeit tickets again. But at least this time, we'll be a little more prepared for it.
All right. Well, I've got you on the phone. Thank you, Steve, for talking about the Elton John. How about let's talk about some of the other shows. Beach Boys are coming in on the 23rd. That's a Saturday night. The 10 o'clock show is sold out. What about the 6 o'clock show?
Well, the 10 o'clock isn't sold out now because people are returning their tickets for the earlier show.
Oh.
So we have considerable amount of tickets left for the late show for anyone who'd like that.
Those are $6.
Yeah, so they're jumping back and forth. So there are tickets available right now for both shows.
And you're going to do $7 at the door.
I'm pretty sure they're going to be $6. We're going to get into too much confusion with the show, so the day of, those, they should still be $6.
All right. Elton John, of course, Monday. What else you got coming in there?
We got Harrison.
George Harrison.
Yeah, we're pretty much sold out on that. We've got probably about 1,200 to 1,500 single seats available for both shows.
Oh.
And we don't anticipate getting any great amounts of tickets back from the promoters.
So the last of the George Harrison tickets are going to go this week, so you're going to advise people to do it this week.
I'd like to get them out of here as soon as we can.
And how about Yes on the 11th?
Yes, there are still scattered tickets available for that. That is doing well. It should draw a good crowd.
All right. Tell me this. It's my speculation that Yes is not sold out because you got George Harrison around there, and I'm even going to name the other acts that are in the other halls that are coming around.
Right.
And the Beach Boys and the Elton John thing, and boy, you've really clumped things together, and you know, that's really hurting people's pocketbooks.
And yeah,
I realize it's not your fault.
Well,
but because you got to get the tour when they're coming around this area.
Right.
But wow, that's, you know, it's incredible the concerts that are coming in, and who's got any money anyway?
Well, I know. This is why I think Harrison didn't sell right out, because people were financially embarrassed after Elton John. You take away a good chunk of money when you buy a few of those tickets.
Especially at the prices some people are getting.
All right.
Anything coming up in the future you want to tell us about?
No, we've got, well, the only thing is we're entering a slow period now because in December we got ice fall. You saw our ice capades coming in, and that pretty well slows down the building. We even kicked the Bruins out for that.
What? What? My team.
Your team.
My team.
They go on a long road trip when the ice shows come in town.
Steve, thank you. Let me get to these other concerts we've got here tonight.
Okay, bud. Good
thank
enough.
You, Steve.
I'll talk to you later.
Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's Steve Rosenblatt at Boston Garden, and he's a box office manager down there with a little inside information about the Elton John concert. And I do have a lot of other concerts coming up, Harmon. I've already taken a long time, so I'll do them real quick after you do your message here.
Okay, let me do the message here.
Hey, I missed you last night.
Oh, yeah, I was sick.
I got something. You're at the Elton John concert, correct?
Yeah, I was sick.
You know who was there?
No, who?
Billie Jean King.
Who?
Billie Jean King? And Elton John played tennis with Billie Jean King this afternoon in Boston.
You're kidding.
No.
You're putting me on.
No way.
Well, I saw Ray Cooper. He's pulling out his tambourines, but I didn't know if Billie Jean King was around.
Yeah. Yes, you're sitting right near you, right near the VIP section.
Oh, yeah, right.
And last night, because I missed you, we've added Marvin Gaye because they posted him the last minute.
That's right. I heard something about that.
And they rescheduled it for this Saturday, and there are tickets available. I mean, there are so many tickets available. And they are $7.50, $6.50, and $5.50.
Uh-huh.
8 o'clock show this Saturday. I see Marvin Gaye. You have to do a thing?
Yes, let me do the thing, all right?
If you must.
Okay, and then we'll come back and then, you know what I mean, right?
Okay, we'll come back.
Okay.
Such a fantastic month, November. You have Marvin Gaye, two Elton John concerts, the Beach Boys were here, David Bowie was here, and Dickie Betts, Logic Messina. Anyway, we're looking at December, and it's not that great at all. Matter of fact, we can only scare out about 10 concerts for the month that will really drop off at the end of the month. December 1st will be the Kinks at the Music Hall, the 3rd, the Greg Allman thing at the Music Hall. Well, for 8 o'clock shows, and tickets to $6.50 down, and on sale, Harry Chapin, the Music Hall, too, same situation on December 4th. Aerosmith will be here on December the 5th. At the Music Hall, 8 o'clock show, that is sold out. The December 6th, two shows, 7 and 10 p.m. The 7 is sold out. The 10 has some seats left, but not many. December 9th, Genesis of the Music Hall.
Okay.
December 10th, the George Harrison thing at the Garden. There's quite a few 4 o'clock in the afternoon shows. Tickets available. December 11th, George Harrison, the Providence Civic Center, is sold out. Yes, will be in Boston Garden. And now we're down to the last few remaining tickets, and that's going to go to a sellout situation in just a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do have some word on Led Zeppelin. Yes, yes, yes.
You do?
But I'm not going to say it right now.
Why not?
Well, because there's nothing official yet, but the works, the wheels are turning.
they are.
The wheels are definitely turning, and I hope to have that as my next big name to add to the cast report soon.
I'll be done. I'll be here trying to listen.
All right.
Okay.
Hobby!
Are you going away?
I'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
My profile tonight is of Elton John, a rock superstar who, offstage at least, appears like anything but a superstar. But what he does on stage and in a recording studio has made him one of the richest entertainers in the world. Here is Jack Perkins to tell us how Elton John got to where he is and how he stays there all the time.
When he was born in Middlesex, England 28 years ago, he was Reginald Dwight. When he began writing music and performing, came to this country 5 years ago, he was Elton John. Now, his albums and singles have sold more than 60 million copies. Most assuredly, to rock music, he is, as he says, Captain Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic, raised and regimented, hardly a hero.
Elton is the kind of a non-hero, I feel like. I mean, he's the kind of boy next door who you would never have never thought to be a superstar.
Elton and I are both very aware of being successful. We want to be successful, especially him, and that's his great force, is that he wants to be successful, and he just doesn't want to see anybody shoot him down.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? The shooter's beat in the fall. The shooter, listen to my old man. You know you can't hold me forever. I did sign up with you. Got a prison for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be singing.
On the record of his success, no one really argues the boy's too young to be singing. Some may feel he's too young to be earning $7 million a year, but who isn't?
I'm one of the world's most ambitious persons. I mean, when I get a number one record, I want to be number one plus. I don't want to be number one, and the next one has to be. You have to aim for something. You have to be ambitious all the time.
So when the album Captain Fantastic came out, it was arranged that it would come out number one on the charts the very first week, because that had never been done before. A new superlative for Elton. He is a very keen student of the music industry.
He consumes music just day in and day out. When he's aware, in, as far as the trades go, the trade papers, per se, that list all the new releases as far as single records and albums that come out. He makes a list when he sees what is coming out every week. He goes into a record store in London or in Los Angeles, and he will buy two albums of a new release, two 8-tracks and two cassettes. The albums stay home, the 8-tracks are for the car, and the cassettes travel with him wherever he goes. He's so aware of what is going on. He knows what his competition is. He knows who is selling records and who he's competing with musically, so he knows what's going on out there.
You can't predict a standard. I think today's standard writers are Carole King, Sadaka, definitely Stevie Wonder. My songs are very... Nobody ever tries to attempt to record them after I've done them. For some funny reason, they're very personal songs.
My gift is my song, yeah. This one's for you. Never when rock was young.
It takes Bernie Taupin an hour to write the lyrics for one of their songs, Elton 30 minutes for the music. They used to live together. They don't now, but are still such intimate friends they can pretend good-naturedly not to be.
He always copes with the environment he's in very well, you know, really does. And don't know why I'm saying these nice things about him. I don't even like him.
He likes to come and hear it when it's all finished. He's a lazy little sod.
It is comfortable for a young man, given such preeminence, to be able to laugh at himself, at the bizarre persona which he calculatedly projects, and at the gossip sheet critics.
But a close associate, who was nameless, of course, said it was a rage of egomania. Elton has come to believe his press clippings. He's convinced he's the most powerful and almighty performer in the history of rock.
That just may be what he is today. And 20 years from now?
Will people be singing Rocket Man in 20 years?
Will you be singing Rocket Man
in 20 years? No, thank you very much, no. The last thing I want to do is lug myself around the countryside and singing all my hits when I'm a tired old man. No, that's not what rock and roll should be.
What should rock and roll be? What do the crowds out there want? Rock should be something that is eternally new. Elton says you always have to stay one step ahead of everyone else. What you did yesterday, he says, you leave that behind.